You're listening to SBS News.
Victoria's Chief Health Officer, Dr. Claire Looker, says there's a need to lift the Mpox vaccination rate among at-risk people. More than 350 people have contracted Mpox in Australia this year, with the disease being spread through sexual activity. People who identify as LGBTIQ+ are considered most at risk of being infected. The outbreak in Australia is less severe than the type that's causing serious illness and deaths in Central Africa, which is known as Clade 1B. I asked Dr. Looker about that more severe strain and how Victoria would respond if there was a Clade 1B case detected in her jurisdiction.
Look, it is a really concerning situation that we're seeing in Africa at the moment, obviously starting in Democratic Republic of Congo and now in a growing number of African countries. And in fact, I think it's been declared, or it has been declared a public health emergency of an international concern a few weeks ago. We have seen a couple of cases now, a small number of cases in other countries around the world, so in Europe and in Asia, most close to us. And we're watching that surveillance and intelligence really closely here in Victoria. So working closely with our interstate counterparts, also with the Commonwealth, to firstly make sure we're watching the surveillance closely, but also that we're well prepared to identify cases if they were to come into Australia, and then of course support them to reduce the risk of any further transmission here. The clade of the virus that we are seeing in Africa is clade 1, and that's not something we've seen any cases of at this stage here in Victoria. But I'm confident we've got good systems in place to minimise any risk if there was an importation of a case.
Most Mpox cases transmitted through skin-to-skin or direct physical contact, but what's your understanding about airborne transmission?
All the literature that I've seen and definitely our experience here in Australia has been only transmission through really prolonged or close skin-to-skin contact. So most of our cases, that's been part of sexual activity, but it could also happen just with very close skin contact for a long period of time. We've seen no local evidence at all of airborne transmission. Theoretically, that may be possible, but I think it's very, very low risk in our setting.
So to be fully vaccinated for Mpox, you need a two-dose vaccine, second dose taken at least 28 days after the first. What are the current stats on how well that take-up is happening in Victoria?
Yeah, so look, as you said, Mpox vaccine is a good vaccine and we've got lots of it here. And we know that if people have those two doses, it's very effective at reducing transmission and particularly severe disease. We've seen a really significant uptick in people seeking out that vaccine, particularly this year in light of the increase in local cases. Just this year alone, over 4,500 Victorians have sought their first or second dose of Mpox vaccine. Of course, with any vaccine, I would always love to see more people taking it up. So some of the recent data suggests probably some of the community surveys, about 50% of people who identify as MSM or GBQ+ have had at least one vaccine dose. So that does suggest there's room for improvement. So we're continuing to work very closely with stakeholders to make sure that vaccine is readily available for people.
So there's a long way to go if it's only tracking at 50 or 60%.
It is. I mean, we do see higher rates in some particular subsets of groups, so that's anyone at all who identifies as MSM. But yes, there's always room for improvement, yeah.
Now, organisations like Thorn Harbour Health, they've been using their social media channels to warn people about the outbreak and the need to be fully vaccinated. What outreach is your department doing to get the message out to at-risk young people?
Look, we have had a very collaborative approach, including fantastic support from Thorn Harbour Health, also, you know, particular settings where we know transmission has occurred. So we have our traditional messaging platforms, so through both social media, definitely our Better Health channel, and also working directly with clinicians and some of those caseload clinics. But we're also have been supporting and working closely with getting messages out through other organisations as well. So I realise not everyone wants to hear everything from the department, and sometimes they might have a different level of engagement with perhaps Thorn Harbour or other groups. So we also try to work together to amplify messaging through those organisations.
I've got an anecdote for you. So I was chatting to a guy who's mid-20s. He identifies as gay. He and his friends all had one dose, at least one dose, back in 2022. But as late as this week, he was saying, most of my friends don't even know that there's an outbreak happening in Australia. So how do we reach people like that who maybe aren't watching the TV news or reading newspapers or consuming media like I would as a 55-year-old?
Yeah, so I think it's a challenge, isn't it, and broader than just MPOX. But I think it is trying to think innovatively and curiously, making sure we're asking community, where do you want to see messages, and then asking those organisations that work closely with community what success or otherwise they have had using different platforms, and then trying to adapt our communications appropriately. I think opportunities like this we always very eagerly embrace, and also, you know, any broader media engagement that we can have, we're very keen to push. Again, it's something where I think working between jurisdictions and also with the Commonwealth helps. So, you know, again, they're different audiences, but trying to amplify some of that national messaging as well.
Let's just talk about the level of risk people are facing. One of my interviewees unfortunately got a very bad dose of MPOX, was out of action for 6 weeks, had to have all sorts of medications, nerve pain medication, etc. Someone else I know had MPOX and he was out of action for a couple of weeks, had to isolate. What's your understanding as to, you know, the average case of MPOX, if you like? Mm. How severe are the symptoms likely to be?
So, fortunately, the majority of cases, it is a relatively mild infection. So they'll get some generalised symptoms, the rash, but that should, you know, resolve without any further treatment. Though you're correct, there are now a number of people who've had very severe disease requiring hospitalisation, requiring much more invasive therapy, IV therapy. We're particularly seeing those cases if people have other medical conditions or might be immunocompromised, and often people, you know, who haven't had the two vaccines but also can be unlucky. But there are a minority for whom it's a really severe disease, and obviously we want to stop those cases happening.